Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast by OVB Online about the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany Ralf Denk, the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, Germany's largest and most successful cycling team, through the France Tour. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobiasruf@ovbmedia.de. And now, enjoy the new episode.
The Queen's stage of the Tour de France was the last for one of the best riders. Remco Evenepoel only makes it to the foot of the Col de Tourmalet and has to give up there in tears. Florian Lipowitz is thus on the podium in the overall standings and even extends his lead in the end. The stage win goes to breakaway rider Tymen Arensman. With me, as always, is the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. I greet Ralf Denk in France. Hello. And greetings to Rosenheim. Ralf, there was a lot going on today, but let's start with the scene of the day, the withdrawal of Remco Evenepoel. We talked about it yesterday and said he doesn't really look good. On today, he had to let go right at the first climb, briefly spoke with his support team or the team car, then got off the bike, and that was it for him. Even you, who has probably seen this 100 times over the years, how much do such images still hurt you?
Yes, it's not nice to abandon a race. And then when it's the Tour de France, it's doubly tragic. You prepare for the Tour de France practically the whole year. And then you have to give up. Bitter, but it's part of it somehow. Most racers have experienced it at some point. I don't know what the reasons were. Because, as I said, Remco is not a racer from our team. But, of course, it's a shame for him personally.
As was heard yesterday, he said in the interview, it was really bad of him. He described it himself, but he doesn't quite know where it came from. From an outside perspective, how can you explain it? Is it an infection that might be lingering? Can you maybe overdo it at the beginning? I mean, it has been tough so far. What is your advice?
Many causes or reasons. It can be an infection. It can be exhaustion. It could also be some mistake in your nutrition plan that you are simply empty. But as I said, that's speculative. Okay.
Ralf, I think I know you well enough to guess that you didn't necessarily want to get on the podium like that. Still, give me an insight into what you thought when you heard that. How does it change your tactics, maybe even during the race? And what did they look like anyway?
Not much has changed for us in the race, and we didn't make it to the podium once we are currently at the podium, but there is still over a week of racing here at the Tour de France, and only then will we be on the podium. A lot can still happen. Florian once again showed a really great performance, gained more time in the direct duel against the other podium candidates. It was a very, very good day for us. And Primo also showed a very solid performance, is now in sixth place. And so we can basically go into the stage tomorrow and then into the rest day on Monday.
You mentioned it already. In the end, you came out well, especially because Florian Lipowitz was able to keep up for a very, very long time. There was an attack by Jonas Vingegaard from the main field on the final climb. He stayed on for a long time or only had to let go minimally. The direct competitor, Oscar Only, couldn't quite keep up. Or is that also the directive that he says, okay, if something comes up, you jump after it if you feel good? Or how did you approach the race?
Yes, we actually left the decision up to him, because if you go with such attacks with Pogacar and Vingegaard, who are riding on another level, then of course there's also the risk that you overdo it and then explode. But he spaced it well, as mentioned. Gained the team him on the other podium contenders, and this great from him. And he is now also in the white jersey, basically as the best young professional, which we have never had in our ranks at the Tour de France. And it is already a good success.
Yes, I would have mentioned that too. That is indeed something you like to see. The first special jersey, not only for him, but for the whole team at the Tour de France this year. What's next? You haven't virtually brought him to the podium yet. Roglic has lost a bit of time to Lipovic again, but overall he's now in sixth place. That means no one will let him go now. How are you proceeding now? How are you playing the card, perhaps with Roglic, and how has the strategy changed?
You can't really say that now, and nothing has really changed. As I said, our goal is to keep both at the front, and we wanted to create a gap to the other podium contenders. We knew that, or we managed to do that. And so you don't necessarily have to ride in a team supportive way, I would say, when the race unfolds like today, where at the final climb, everyone is basically fighting against everyone. We discussed this with the guys beforehand and they executed it well. It worked for everyone. And Florian then tried to go along when the two best of the tour, Pogacar and Vingegaard, attacked. It didn't quite work out, but it wasn't too far off. And Primož was then dropped anyway. And as I said, until that moment, there was no reason for Primož to do anything for Florian because Team UAE did the work. And in that respect, our plan actually worked well to keep both at the front.
Perfect. That means it continues accordingly with both of them at the front, I gather.
We will decide that from day to day now. I trust my sports management to make the right decision at the right moment.
All right. Ralph, we are moving to the background topic, and today it's about the business in cycling. When we talked about it before, you compared cycling a bit to the stock market. I'd like to delve into that. How do you see it? Economically speaking, are the riders a bit like an expensive stock, or how can that be understood?
Yes, of course, they also have the market value, and it's always nice when you have racers who overperform, meaning those who perform better than their current market value. That's what characterizes a team when they sign racers relatively cheaply, either as amateurs or young professionals, and then make them better without yet paying the market value. That sometimes works. In our team, I would say it has worked very often. But of course, there are also other cases. For example, Christopher Froome switched to the Israel Premier Tech team as a Tour de France winner, signed a very big contract, and then delivered nothing more. Those are, of course, the flip sides of the coin. But as I said, it has also happened with us. But I would say that for us, it has mostly been the case that the racers primarily overperform compared to their market value. That is always the art of implementing it. But as I said, it doesn't always succeed.
How much does the human aspect, or as you called it with Florian Lipowitz, the good gut feeling, play a role in such negotiations? Does that perhaps make a decisive difference in the end, or do you really have to go in with a tough business mindset and say, okay, he delivers this and that performance, that's worth this much?
That's 360 degrees, I would say. Of course, performance data, of course, gut feeling, of course, humanity. And then somehow based on this, a decision has to be made. Does the racer fit with us or not? Does it also fit economically and how will he develop? Yes. So you can see a lot in the performance data, but not everything.
To some extent, luck also plays a part.
Yes, a question that was passed on to us in this context revolves around your budget, to roughly categorize it. The relevant sites also talk about 40 million plus or minus. The average, as far as I know, is 27 million for all the World Tour teams, so to speak, the first league. Can you give a ballpark figure or roughly estimate it?
Well, regarding our budgets, we have agreed on confidentiality with all relevant parties.
We cannot say anything about it. The 27 million you mentioned, the average for a World Tour team.
Yes, then you can roughly figure out where Red Bull Borahansgrohe stands.
Yes, probably above this average. I would go out on the limb here if one says one is really at the forefront.
As I said, we agreed not to comment on that.
Yes, wonderful. That was it for the main topic. Tell us a quick sentence about tomorrow. It's heading towards Carcassonne. No very big mountains, but probably too difficult for the sprinters. Does that mean a breakaway group and a breather, or is there more work waiting for you?
Well, it...
Boa.